Hello everyone. Welcome to this episode of Intellectual Property 101. I am Tushar Bhargav, your host and founder of Markaz, an intellectual property consultancy firm in India. In this episode, we have Dr. Deepa Tikku, partner at K&S Partners, with us to talk about patent laws in India.
Intellectual Property 101 with Tushar.
Thank you, ma'am, for taking some time out from your busy schedule and appearing on this show.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, so let's begin. Can you explain what is patent for a layman?
A patent is basically a legal protection. It's a legal protection given by the government to inventors of a product or a process for a limited time. This is a territorial protection, and in exchange, the inventors are supposed to disclose the complete information regarding such product or process to the public for future use. So after the time period finishes or expires, the public is free to use that product or process.
Okay. So what are the benefits of registering a patent?
So as I mentioned, a patent gives a protection against any third party copying the invention. So basically, your protection is against any person who would use, sell, manufacture, or export your invention, which can be a product or it can be a specific process, without seeking your permission. So you can sue that person who is infringing your patent rights in a court of law.
So patents are given for an innovation. So, are all innovations patentable?
Yes, you're right. Patents are given for an innovation. So, basically, when people get confused, people say people equate sometimes trademarks and patents together, or let's say a design and a patent. So, this is a very specific kind of a protection, which is only available for technologies, science. So, for an innovation, it has to be a functional innovation. And so it is definitely given for an innovation. And now, if whether all innovations are patentable, my answer is no, not all innovations are patentable. There are universal criteria of patentability under the WTO TRIPS agreement, which are that an invention must be novel. So there has to be a worldwide novelty to that invention. It has to be inventive, which means that it should not be obvious to a person in the same field. And it should have industrial applicability, which means it has to have some kind of utility for the public. Now, so whether all innovations are patentable? No, because the moment these three criteria are applied to assess whether your innovation is patentable, you have to pass each of these criteria. And this is a universal criteria. These are universal criteria. Apart from that, there are other exclusions. There are other criteria which can be locally derived laws. For example, in India, there are a set of other criteria on which patentability is assessed. Those are called, we call them artificial exclusions, but they are local demands of the law. Otherwise, universally, these three criteria are applied.
So someone registering in US will have to follow these three mandatory...
Everywhere in the world, because... all these countries, all the major countries in the world are party to the WTO TRIPS agreement, and therefore they have to be consistent with the three criteria that are laid down by this agreement.
Okay. And if someone wants to register a patent, so what would you recommend? Filing the application on its own or through an attorney?
See, patents are techno-legal documents, It also a lot depends upon the objective of the person filing the patent. So I would say that if having a protection over the innovation is critical for the inventor, professional help is a must and it should be sought. Because incorrect, badly drafted specifications can have grave consequences during grant proceedings as well as enforcement proceedings. Apart from that, how to determine whether your invention is patentable or not at the outset. So you may need help to search, basically, whether your innovation is actually worth patenting or not in the first place, or whether you've just reinvented the wheel.
Also, many people believe that registering a patent is expensive. So do you think the same?
You know, expensive is always a relative term, right? So it all depends, again, as I said, how important something is for you. You know, whenever you spend money on anything, it's basically the importance of that element in your life that you will want to spend that kind of money on something. So definitely, money plays a lot of a big role in deciding how much to file, where to file, which all countries. At the same time, you know, Indian Patent Office, for example, recently, they have appointed facilitators for helping people file patent applications for a minimal cost, or in even free, because in that sense, you're not paying for the professional costs and the patent office will bear that cost. Also, there are substantial official fee reductions that have come into play for startups, for individuals and small entities. Hiring an attorney, as I said, is always recommended. And I feel we have enough patent agents now in the country to actually suit every pocket. So it all depends upon the need of the person who's filing, how important that is. So definitely money plays a big role, but I think it's the objective. And also, mind you, patents are territorial rights and need to be filed in each country where the inventor desires protection. So certainly money, a budget and a money would play a big role. But as far as expensive is concerned, it is probably relative, as I would say.
Okay. And in your experience, have you seen certain instances where someone has gained a lot by registering a patent?
Well, there are countless examples of companies who have benefited from developing a strong patent portfolio. I mean, it's known to everyone that many MNCs have actually grown, many have acquired patents and have immensely grown up the value chain because of that those acquisitions. You have the Googles and the Facebooks and the Apples and that. But coming to the smaller entities and, for example, academic institutions, if we would talk about the grassroots level, I think some of the foreign universities like MIT are classic examples of how they've built their patent portfolios, invested into research, commercialized some of those great products that they have had, and in turn brought in money to have a sustainable outflow of research and all the development that's taking place. In India, do we have the, you know, for example, we have the IITs and we have CSIR, for example, Council for Scientific Industrial Research is a very big example. We have Indian Institute of Sciences, where some fantastic work has happened and some of those technologies have been commercialized, bringing in both revenue as well as great reputation to these institutes. So building a patent portfolio undoubtedly can have multiple benefits, including self-sustainability for research and diversifying into other areas of,
So like you've mentioned that, you know, India have so many institutes like IISc, CSIRs, IITs and NITs, which have excellent infrastructure for research. But still, if you'll see the data, unfortunately, patents are registered mostly by MNCs in India.
Sure.
So what is the reason behind it?
Well, there are several reasons to this. And honestly speaking, I can't place a finger on a single factor, so as to say. The reasons are socio-economic and also awareness-related. Commercialization of patents is negligible. In fact, you know, that's the trend worldwide. But in India, of course, we are at a very, very minimal level. So commercialization of patents is definitely a big factor among other factors. So unless the academia sees a return on what they're investing on, for example, because filing and grant of patent and maintenance of patents would involve money and a lot of their effort. So I think unless the academia sees a return on their investment, they may not feel motivated enough to do that. The new IPR policy and various campaigns implemented under the same are certainly changing the awareness levels of academia, and we are seeing more interest gradually happening. However, goes without saying, a cohesive industry-academia relationship is the need of the hour. And we need the academic institutions to come forward, have policies in place, have IPR policies in place, which would enable them to firstly have a budget for doing something like that. Then even the mindset of the professors and the scientists at the academic level needs to have a change, because some of those people are of old school thought, which who believe in open source and you know everything should be open to everyone, without realizing that there is some amount of motivation or you can actually motivate younger researchers to do something if they feel that there's something coming in back. I'm not saying that, you patent everything under the sun, which is just not possible also. As I said, patentability criteria are very tough. But at the same time, having a little shift in the mindset would be very effective. And awareness, definitely, yes. Awareness levels have to go up. So I think industry-academia relationship, government awareness programs, and the willingness of these academic institutions who are old school will, together pave way for more interest in this field.
Do you feel that Indian laws are at par with international standards, or is there any scope of improvement?
Well, we are, as I said, we are TRIPS compliant. We are a founder member of TRIPS, and we became TRIPS compliant in all domains. And for example, in patents, we became TRIPS compliant in the year 2005, with effective 2005. So I feel all the criteria which are universally accepted, we are at par with that. So we are at par with international standards, and we for example, in patents, we follow a substantive examination procedure, and the law ensures that frivolous patents are not granted. We have some strict provisions in the law which hinder that. Improvement in law is certainly important, and it has to be a dynamic process because technology, I believe, takes a new leap every minute. So to keep pace with the changing landscape of technology, in all domains, we must be prepared to make changes to our law to fit in such new technology. So to say that whether we are at par, definitely yes. But I think we should also be open to changes in the law as and when there are very, very different technologies coming in which are not just fitting in, in the current scenario.
Okay. And you must have come across various myths while dealing with various clients. So can you share some of them with our listeners?
Well, there are several myths. Some interesting ones that I've come across are, for example, when I speak to people, they say, well, why have patents in the first place? They hinder innovation. And this is something, of course, and as I said, mostly from the academia that I hear this, they hinder innovation. They're very monopolistic. They're negative rights. All that is there. But, a coin has two sides. Right. So basically, it's up to you how to go about it. We also hear about the patents being economic barriers, only good for big companies, only for litigation purposes. Patent also something like a patent is universal. So if you have a patent in India, it means you have a patent everywhere else. I think there's no end to the myths, and that's why I think awareness is very important.
Okay. And lately, like you mentioned earlier as well, that, government has started appointing patent facilitators. So do you think that it is having a positive impact?
Yes, indeed. I think we are seeing a positive effort from the government in this respect. India saw the first IPR policy in many years. So we had a first of many things in this year, in the last year. The launch of the IPR policy itself is an indication that the government is actually looking at building a positive environment for intellectual property in the country. And there are multi-pronged efforts made by the government by way of launching several initiatives, such as the Startup Intellectual Property Rights Initiative, which is the SIPP. Then you have the reduction of fees for filing and prosecution of patents. You have expedited grant procedures for several categories of applicants. Having said that, I think there's clearly a lot to achieve because we are still very, very low, I would say abysmally low in the ladder of innovation as represented in the index of innovation. So clearly, I think implementation of all the policies and all the initiatives that the government has actually taken will be the key.
And would you like to recommend any book to our listeners? It could be legal or non-legal.
If I just talk about patents, I think for beginners or even as a reference book, I think Narayanan is a very important book. And I think it's a good reference book for people who would want to refer to it. Otherwise, there's ample information available online on various websites. Some of the foreign patent offices also have great information about it. You can also go on to the WIPO website there's tremendous reading material over there as well. Also for some case laws, for example, as we are talking about patents, and I'm specifically talking about life sciences here, the landmark case laws would be, for me, Diamond versus Chakrabarty, these are international case laws, Myriad, Prometheus, Mayo. India, we have Novartis Gleevec case, we have Roche versus Cipla, we have Merck versus Glenmark. And so these are some of those cases where people should go and learn about this. And otherwise, there's ample material for learning. And non-legal, I have nothing specific in that. Just keep reading. Just keep reading. Yeah.
Okay. And you're a registered patent agent since 2004. Mm-hmm. And so have you seen any changes in terms of awareness among the people?
Oh, yeah, most certainly. As I mentioned earlier, there were hardly any people from our background, for example, even for the people who were wanting to foray into this area, there were very few people. But now, of course, the awareness levels are much higher, at least in the people who want to come into this profession. As there is also a heightened, I feel there is an improving interest in this area for people to file as well. There is an increasing awareness, but I'm sure, we have a lot of distance to cover. So I think, I would say that awareness has increased, but it hasn't reached to the level that we would want it to be.
So any recommendation like how?
I think this is something where everybody has to do their bit. I think every single person can do his or her bit. We at our end do a lot of pro bono stuff to increase awareness by doing something we are doing just wrong. Road shows, legal clinics, etc. We also have workshops, seminars in academic institutes across the country. We are knowledge partners with many of these organizations. But personally, I feel that introducing this subject at the high school level would be really beneficial. Because I feel that, if you talk about science, for example, or you talk about fragile minds shaping up, that's the time when people actually understand the concepts of what it means, what innovation means, what it means to copy, what it would mean not to copy, and how your minds are ignited. That's the time when people are really learning things with a pure mind. So I think introducing some of these concepts at a high school level would be really beneficial. And then awareness can be taken to an entirely different level.
Okay. Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you so much for taking some time out.
Intellectual Property 101 with Tushar.
So this was about patent laws in India. I hope you have enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to share this episode and subscribe to my channel for more informative episodes on intellectual property rights. If you have any questions, feel free to drop me a mail at tushar@markaz.in or use hashtag AskMarkaz on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you.